ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्, देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास, ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवतेरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तेर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर नंबर 1 टेक्स्ट नंबर हियर देयर टू श्लोकास टुगेदर 6 एंड 7 बट ऑन द बोर्ड ओनली वन इज देयर सो वी सिंग ओनली वन टेक्स्ट नंबर 6। स्वमूर्तया लोकलावण्य निर्मुक्त्या लोचनम् नृणाम् गीर्भिस्तः स्मरताम् चित्तम् पदैस्तान् वन मिनट लेट मी सी पदैः तान् इक्षताम् क्रियाः स्वमूर्तया लोकलावण्य निर्मुक्त्यालोचनं नृणाम् गीर्भिस्ता स्मरतां चित्तम् पदैस्तानीक्षतां क्रियाः स्वमूर्तया लोकलावण्य निर्मुक्त्यालोचनं नृणाम् गीर्भिस्ताः स्मरतां चित्तम् पदैस्तानीक्षतां क्रियाः स्वमूर्तया लोकलावण्य निर्मुक्त्यालोचनं नृणाम् गीर्भिस्ताः स्मरतां चित्तम् पदैस्तानीक्षतां क्रियाः माताजीज what word meaning? Actually, because there are two shlokas, I will read the second shloka myself and then we'll take the word-to-word meaning of both, and translation is also together of the both shlokas. Achidya kirti su shlokam vitatya hyanjasa tudkau tamo naya tarishyanti atyagat swam padamishwarah. So I'll take, but then second shloka you cannot say. Okay, I'll take only word-to-word meaning of first shloka and then translation of both. Swamurtaya, by his own form, loka, of all material worlds, lavanya, dham beauty, nirmuktya, which takes away, lochanam, the eyes, in bracket provided, he attracted the eyes. Nunam of men, girbhihi, by his words, taha smaratam, of those who remembered them, chittam, the mind, padaihi, of his feet, tan, ikshatam, of those who saw them, Kriyaha, the physical activities, walking, etc. Actually, I will read the translation of both shlokas together. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all beauty. All beautiful things emanate from Him, and His personal form is so attractive that it steals the eyes away from all other objects, which then seem devoid of beauty in comparison to Him. When Lord Krishna was on the earth, He attracted the eyes of all people. When Krishna spoke, His words attracted the minds of all who remembered them. By seeing the footsteps of Lord Krishna, people became attracted to Him, and thus they wanted to offer their bodily activities to the Lord as His followers. In this way, Krishna very easily spread His glories, which are sung throughout the world by the most sublime and essential Vedic verses. Lord Krishna considered that simply by hearing and chanting these glories, conditioned souls born in the future would cross beyond the darkness of ignorance. Being satisfied with this arrangement, He left for His desired destination. Purport. It's a very, very big purport, but I have been told to take half of it. Still, it's quite big, but at least I'll read up half of it. But at least the first half and even the full purport, I would say it is one of the best purports as per the shloka. One of the very nicely the points have been made out of it. So let us try to focus on it. Those who have Bhagavatams on mobile, they can read over there. Changing times. According to Sridhar Swami, these two verses indicate that Lord Krishna, having achieved all the purposes for which he has descended, went back to His spiritual kingdom. It is natural that people in material world hanker to see a beautiful object. In materialistic life, however, our consciousness is polluted by the influence of the three modes of nature, and therefore we hanker for material objects of beauty and pleasure. The materialistic process of sense gratification is imperfect because the law of material nature will not allow us to be happy or satisfied in materialistic life. The living entity is constitutionally an eternal servant of God and is meant to appreciate the infinite beauty and pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna is the absolute truth and the reservoir of all beauty and pleasure. By serving Krishna, we can also share in his ocean of beauty and pleasure. And thus our desire to see beautiful things and enjoy life will be fully satisfied. The example is given that the hand cannot enjoy food independently, but can assimilate it directly by giving it to the stomach. Similarly, by serving Lord Krishna, the living entity who is part and parcel of the Lord will derive unlimited happiness. The inconceivable Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, by displaying his own true form, freed the living entities from falsely seeking forms of beauty other than his form, which is itself the source of all beautiful things. Simply by seeing his lotus feet, fortunate living beings could distinguish between ungodly endeavors of the karmis who seek gross enjoyment for their own sense gratification and the practice of dovetailing one's activities with the service of the Lord. Although philosophers perpetually speculate about the nature of the God, Lord Krishna directly liberated the jiva souls from all speculative misunderstandings about him by displaying his actual transcendental form and activities. Superficially, Krishna's personal form, words and activities resemble those of ordinary conditioned souls. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explains that this apparent resemblance between the Lord's activities and those of the living entities is a merciful concession by the Lord, so that the conditioned souls will be attracted to him and become eligible to return to his kingdom for an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. By showing his own spiritual form and kingdom to the living entities in a way tangible for them, Lord Krishna drove away their false enjoying attitude and removed their long-standing indifference to his personality. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, if one can understand the position of Shri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will never again fall into the network of material illusion. Such a fall down can be avoided if one constantly hears about the unique transcendental form and beauty of the Lord from authorized Vedic literatures. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 2.42-43, Yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadantya vipaschita vedavadarta partha nanyadasti tinivadina kamatmana swargaparam janma karma phalapradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhogaishvaryam gatim prati. Men of small knowledge are very much attracted to the flowery words of Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. On the other hand, certain parts of Vedic literatures are specifically meant to award material sense gratification to the conditioned soul and at the same time gradually condition him to obey the Vedic injunctions. The portion of Vedas that recommend fruitive activities for regulated sense gratification are themselves dangerous, because the living being who enjoys in such activities become easily entangled in the material enjoyment offered and neglects the ultimate purpose of the Vedas. The ultimate purpose of Vedic literature is to bring the living entity back to his original consciousness, in which he acts as an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By rendering service to the Lord, the living entity can enjoy unlimited spiritual bliss in the association of Lord in his own kingdom. Thus, one who seriously desires to advance in Krishna consciousness should specifically hear the Vedic literatures that deals with pure devotional service to the Lord. One should hear from those who are highly advanced in Krishna consciousness and avoid interpretations that stimulate materialistic desires for enjoyment.
when the tiny living entity is finally able to see the difference between the temporary affairs of this world and the transcendental activities of Lord Trivikram, Krishna, he devotes himself to the Lord and removes from his heart the dark covering of matter, no longer desiring sense gratification, which is enjoyed under the two headings, sin and piety. In other words, although people within this world are considered sinful or pious, on the material platform, both sin and piety are performed for one's personal sense gratification. If one can understand that his real happiness lies in giving pleasure to Krishna, Lord Krishna takes such a fortunate living being back to his own abode, which is called Golok Vrindavan. According to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the Lord first gives a sincere soul the opportunity to hear about his pastimes. When the devotee has advanced in his spontaneous attraction to such narrations, the Lord gives him opportunity to take part in his spiritual pastimes as they appear within this world. By taking part in the pastimes of the Lord within a particular universe, the living entity becomes completely detached from the material world, and ultimately the Lord brings him to his personal abode in spiritual sky. Hare Krishna. This is half the purport. More half is still remaining, which will be dealt with Tuesday. Om Anyan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagara Jatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Rijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitanscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhescha Krupa Sindhu Evacha Patitanam Paunebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaur Tvishe Nama He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, welcome all of you for this Sunday Srimad Bhagavatam class. And as I said, this is a really very beautiful purport written, and many points are nicely logically developed over here. I could also appreciate it totally, not totally, whatever I have, after reading at least 5 to 10 times for preparing how the things are moving on. So, but still, it's a very beautiful purport, and many, many wonderful points have been made in this purport. So basically, the scene is 11th canto. Is Lord Krishna, one of the main pastime happening in this 11th canto is, there are many other pastimes, but Lord Krishna is now preparing to leave this planet and go back to the spiritual world. And many things are happening before that. This chapter is entitled The Curse Upon the Yadu Dynasty. So it's just like Lord Krishna had come with a purpose. Actually, he had come with one purpose which has many divisions. But main points have been told in Bhagavad Gita. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam sujamyam paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkatam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. And third shloka also, which devotees know, but outside people don't know that shloka is very important. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo vetti tatvatah tektva deham punarjanma naiti mameti so Arjuna. This is the real cause for Krishna's coming, and that is what here Krishna is, it is like Krishna speaking his heart. Actually shloka, although it might be spoken by Maitreya Muni or Narad Muni, but it is in the mood that Lord Krishna is speaking to himself and what he did, or both. First part is what Lord Krishna did, and second is he is thinking what Lord Krishna is thinking. So just like when we are given some task and we perform it, then there is one thing called as analyze. Have we done it correctly? Like sometimes also when we write exams, if we have time, then after we written the paper, we just go through it again, whether we have done it correctly. Or we do some work, task. Nowadays there is a, what do you call it? IT industry, software. And I have heard that in IT there is a department called testing. One is programming and another is testing. So they analyze, they go back and see back. So Lord Krishna is thinking that I have come to deliver the people. And please understand, although there is nothing difficult for Lord Krishna to do in this world, he is a Supreme Lord. He says that just by my fragment of my energy, I am maintaining this whole universe. But still, apparently, there is nothing impossible for the Lord, there is nothing difficult for him. But if you still speak relatively, this task of Lord Krishna, which he did 5000 years back, was one of the difficult ones. Because he has to plan and think of delivering the people of Kali Yuga. Means we all. And our futures and past generations. Because in Kali Yuga, somehow or other, that tendency of entanglement, attachment, enjoyment in matter is so strong. If most of you are no practicing spiritual life for many years, might have found it, that in spite of hearing so hundreds of time, thousands of time, nature of material pleasures, it's temporary, then fleeting, then illusory, but still that tendency to dig or to get attached into material body, whatever form, sex, country, color, wealth we may have, the tendency to enjoy the body or to be bodily consciousness, I am this body, is so strong. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, we see in every lecture, he has to tell, I am not this body. And one time, one audience, one person was sitting, and Prabhupada was telling, I am not this body, we are not this body. So audience felt, Prabhupada is speaking for himself, he is not his body, but I am my body. So the person who is listening was thinking, I am my body, he may not be his body. So that is the strength of bodily identity in this material world. And based on this bodily identity, then there are problems of caste, color, creed, religion, and all these things, basically bodily identity. I am my body, then I am of a particular language, particular caste, particular color, particular creed, particular what it may be. Based on the body, that human society has made hundreds of divisions all over the world, country, like that. Basically, We see, what we see today, all around the world, we see one common thing. If we see the world political situation, from Europe to India to what it may be, the presidents and prime minister may be changing, but we see one common thing. Everyone is differentiating, distinguishing, and talking only on the bodily language of I and mine. It may be India, it may be Pakistan, it may be Nepal, it may be Sri Lanka, our neighboring countries, or it may be Europe, or it may be America. People are talking of sending some people back. He is ours, he is of my country, my religion, another country. So many things. And once we enter that cycle, there is no end to making divisions. People are dividing themselves on based on country, based on caste, based on religion, based on whatever bodily identity you can make. Colors, India it may be North Indian, South Indian. Then South Indian, there is like Kannada, Tamil, Kerala. In North Indian, there is some this area, that area. I don't know the local area languages like Bundelkhand and this and that. And there are so many area-wise divisions. So we see, once we enter the bodily consciousness, there is no limit where we can stop differentiating between people. And ultimately it will come down to only I and mine. Or I and my family. And you are something separate and there will be... So basically, based on this bodily consciousness, which has taken the shelter of country, caste, religion, color, sex, people all over the world are... In today's state, if you see, it may be China, it may be Japan, Taiwan, Sri Lanka, any part of the world if you go. You may not know the whole history, I also don't know. But if you go and see there, all over the world, there is a common problem. People are fighting each other based on their bodily identity. Of this area, that area, Bombay, Bombay Suburban, Western Railway, Central Railway, Harbour Railway. So many people are fighting, they say. In Central Railway, post Kalyan, pre Kalyan, Kalyan ke baad wala, isko bahar nikal lo. Something like that, they talk. So basically, it's based on bodily, and then as I said, there is no limit on which we will go on decreasing and differentiating mine, his, hers, like that. And based on the bodily consciousness, we are differentiating between people. And all the enjoyments in today's world, if you see, people are talking of pleasure, and avoiding pain and more money and more gains. All this, as it is said here in the beginning of this purport, it is natural that people in material world hanker to see a beautiful object. It's natural. But in materialistic life, our consciousness is polluted by the influence of three modes of nature. So, we want to see beautiful things. I spoke here a month back, and somehow that lecture and this lecture is a bit connected. In that lecture I spoke, everything that is beauty is dirty. It is actually dirty, but it appears as beauty. Similarly, we see here under the three modes of nature, people justify what is beautiful. It's not when we say of beauty, it's not only of opposite sex, it's of opposite sex, that is certainly one point of getting attracted to beauty. But then there can be beautiful scenery, there can be beautiful food, people can be attracted to people, beautiful fruits, beautiful, whatever it may be, clothes, vehicles, houses. There's a big discussion and advertisement of beautiful houses, flats or whatever it may be. And some people like me who stay a bit more outside Bombay, when I see the houses in Bombay, anyway it's a crowded, cramped up, it may be 20 story. What I am used to is like a big house and open area around, something. So when, whatever it may be, that the most polished house in Bombay, it seems to be too crowded, too cramped up, one above another, and common staircase and lift and what it may be. But then there is a different concepts of beauty all over the world in various peoples according to three modes of nature. Three modes of nature. For some who are in a bit passion, they will find bit natural atmosphere a bit boring. Yahan pe kuch hai hi nahi. Kuch hota hi nahi idhar. Nothing is happening. There should be some music, somebody coming, going, some sirens going on, crowd, local trains moving. Like some people say, some people find if there is some sound in the night time, they find difficult to sleep. And then some people whose house is near local tracks, if there is no sound, they find it difficult to sleep. 10 minutes that local train should give sound, and then they feel, oh, now I'm in a good place to sleep. So it's just basic, but still, both ways, in both ways, understanding as per three modes of nature. In Bombay, especially local trains can give you many lessons. There was one drama also, what? Virar to Churchgate. Virar to Churchgate fast. We saw, when it was done? Last year, somewhere. It was done. Virar to Churchgate fast. So many lessons. People are so perfect. They can just understand where when their station has come only by smelling. they don't have to look outside or look on the board which station has come. Nowadays, certainly they make some announcement, next station. But before that, I knew people are sleeping and they just get up and they don't see here and there. They even don't see the watch. They just get up and go to get down at their right station. There are various smells passing at various places. So all of you know what is happening. But basically this is material world. This is material world. So the whole point which is made in the beginning of purport is what a type of enjoyments we want in this material world is not absolutely beautiful or enjoyable. We feel it that way because we are under some particular three modes of nature. It's not that this is correct or that is correct, or being in Bombay is bad or outside Bombay is good. What it is, we are enjoying in this world as per the three modes of nature. We are influenced by that and we try to enjoy. And that is not absolute enjoyment. It's nothing to say that this is very correct way of enjoying. You may feel it that way, but that is not always, or it is like something absolute, that this is absolute beautiful. Or this is absolutely the only thing which is enjoyable. It's according to you as per your present state of conditioning. That's all. And therefore we see when our state of conditioning changes, we don't find something enjoyable now and we find something enjoyable different. This happens with respect to all of us, certainly in terms of our age. As Shankaracharya says, balastavar kida sakta, tarunistavas tarunisakta, vruddhasto stavat chinta sakta. Pare brahmani kopi na sakta. Shankaracharya said that at childhood people are attached to games. At youth they are attached to opposite sex. And at old age they are attached to, attached to anxiety, thinking of their children or grandchildren. But one devotee once said, because this Kali Yuga has advanced, all three stages we are having all three problems. Childhood there is certainly games, which is natural for us. But even child, they are attracted to opposite sex, we see nowadays. And they are also having anxiety of studies. People have found 8th standard, 5th standard students have stress of exams, competition, so many things. And old people are also having, we see old people are going after games. After retirement, various special plays, special playgrounds. With the old people organizing dandiya for themselves. Yeah, it happened once. I saw in one newspaper or something. So all three stages, all three problems in Kali Yuga. There's exclusive old people dandiya. It was organized somewhere in Bombay. And don't laugh, otherwise we will join it after some years. It's not that we have to laugh on somebody else and we are somebody better than them. We might find ourselves over there after some years or something like that. So basically the whole point which is made in the beginning of this purport is whole world, as I said, Sri Krishna has a very difficult job, that is to deliver the people of Kali Yuga. The job is difficult always, but to deliver the people of Satya Yuga is also difficult because they are too attached to mode of goodness. But still Kali Yuga is little bit, as I said, little bit here and there. The whole problem in the material world is we are attached to bodies. But Kali Yuga is so much that people are attached to the sex, the food, to the sleep, everything all the time. In Satya Yuga there was some problem. once somebody may get attracted to one woman, or once somebody may sleep here and there, be inattentive. But in Kali Yuga, the problem is so always. In the sleep, we are thinking of sex life, and we are thinking of some enviousness. And while being envious, we are sleeping. Nothing is just all mixed up in Kali Yuga. We can't do even one thing properly. So therefore, Krishna is not departing. See, what is the Krishna's thought in this shloka? I am going back to the spiritual world. How the people of this Kali Yuga will be delivered? He has to do some arrangement. Because he came, and when he was here, he delivered wonderfully. Like it is said during the Mahabharata war, whoever was there on the war field got delivered. Because just as it is said, Krishna's beauty. Whoever was there on the war field? Pandava army, Kaurava army, they got various levels of deliverance. If they are all on the war field and Krishna was on the war field and the people were killed, they got simply mukti. That is just liberation from this material world. It is said, if some of them, while dying, they just looked at the face of Krishna, even from far off distance, and thought, oh, he is such a beautiful person, then they not only got mukti, but they got entry into the spiritual world, Vaikunthas. And some on the warfield could develop some rasa with Krishna, on warfield or before. Then they got to be personal associate of Krishna in Vishnu's world or even in Golok Vrindavan. So basically, because Krishna was present on the battlefield, just by his presence, anyone who died on the battlefield at least got mukti or something beyond that. So Krishna did what yada yada dharmasya or paritraya sadhunam or janma karma jayame divyam when he was there. And now it is his time to go back to the spiritual world. And now he is thinking, what will happen? How to deliver the people of Kali Yuga? After me? What after me? But see, that's what we also plan. Big business people, those who have some property, some wealth, some money, they plan, what after me? They plan, this will be for my child, this will be for my wife, this will be for charity. But do you see that what I have observed in this world, sorry to say, people plan and they do everything. They want this to happen that way, this to happen, this well to go here, this well to go there, this property to my daughter, this to my son, whatever it may be. But what happens after death? Nothing happens what he plans. Everyone just becomes selfish and he wants this and he wants that. And again, somebody wants, like we see in Indian politics also, or world politics. Somebody is there and he says, after me, party will be like this and party will be like that. And we see after the man is gone, after people leave him to the, what do you call it, Smashan Bhumi. And they come back and one day is over. Then they become too selfish for themselves. Forgetting their past leader. It has happened in Maharashtra, in India, everywhere. So basically we see that people are trying to enjoy materially in this world, but they are not. So Krishna is thinking, what after me? Krishna is thinking, how will the people of Kali Yuga be delivered? And he is saying, so what he did when he was here? He said in this first shloka, when Krishna was here, by his own beauty, he attracted the eyes of the people. People got attracted to Krishna, some of them, by beauty of Krishna. Some got attracted to Krishna by his words. Some got attracted to Krishna by seeing the footsteps of Krishna. Now see, Krishna is all attractive. We see Krishna's footsteps on the soil, and people got attracted and they got liberated. Some got attracted to him by offering service to him, by offering the service by hands and legs. So in this way, Krishna delivered the people when he was there. And now he is thinking, Lord considered that simply by hearing and chanting those glories of my activities. So Krishna is thinking, I have done wonderful activity. If people after me, they hear, talk and discuss about my activities, then they will, all the souls in the future who are taking birth will cross beyond the darkness of material world simply by hearing and chanting these glorious activities of mine. So that was the arrangement done by Krishna. What? After me. He thought, after me, if people hear and talk about my activities, then they will also cross beyond the ocean of material birth and death. And being satisfied by such an arrangement. So Krishna is also thinking before going. What about people of Kali Yuga 2017? Everywhere they say, like I go to some college, they say, annual gathering 2017. 17 years back it was Y2K. So big thing, Y2K, Y2K, everyone was talking. Now 17 years have gone, those who are there, they remember. All the computers will crash and whatever. The whole world will stop, America will go into darkness. They are just saying so many things will happen. And now 17 years have happened past that. Still, what has happened is materialistic activities have increased. Like Radhika Vallapur was saying. And, okay, the next point made in this purport is, how can a man enjoy in the face of impending death? In this material world, certainly the beauty and the enjoyments are influenced by three modes, but they are also very temporary. Here it is said, how can people enjoy in the face of impending death? People today's age are very much busy with their activities, earning money and so many things. And because I go to Ratnagiri, this month of February is coming. So now it's March, April, May. It's the main income source, mango season. There are two things hold the economy is depending. One is mango, another is not a Vaishnava thing, but it's fish. On this both seasons, the whole economy is depending. So mango, kisse bhi baat karo, April, May, Prabhuji, season hai abhi. Abhi busy ho. But then that's not only Ratnagiri. Everywhere people as per their business, for those who are connected to catering or pandal, it's marriage season. Aaj hi bahut busy hai. Marriage season chal raha hai. Or Ganpati season, or this season. People are talking of seasons. That is, season means that is their earning time. And then they say sometime is relaxed time. Sometime is earning time, sometime is relaxed time. Prabhuji, abhi season hai, abhi disturb mat karo, abhi bahut baat mat karo, abhi ekdam season hai, season. But suppose a person who has established in his business, certainly he doesn't establish in the beginning, maybe around 30 years say. Suppose he is 30 years of age and he has basically established himself into business. Season, I don't know how many seasons he will get in this world. Maybe 20 more. Maybe 30 more seasons. What more you will get? You will, if it's a yearly season, a marriage season or whatever season it may be, or like there is some medical profession also has a season. Once I was talking with a doctor. He said that rainy season, July, August, very good. And the doctor told me very clearly, he told in Marathi, I will speak Marathi and then English. He said, amcha dawakhanacha bahir ranga lagat nahi tumhala chain padat nahi mhantat. So the doctor said, till there are big queues in front of our clinic, only when there are big queues then we feel happy. And he said, our season is July, August. Rainy season, all big queues. So everyone has season, but how many seasons they will get? And ultimately we all will become season for those who are into business of things we care after death. For them, see that business is very good. There is no season, all year season. Because that is happening every day. Is there any specific period, Ramana, that this month more deaths, this month less deaths? Annually, there is some annual cycle like that? I don't think so. At least I have not heard. Every business has a season. But death is no season, always. So basically, that is the best business. Actually, there is one story. Like how, I did not plan to, but then the story is there. That how one businessman was there. And his children, they are a little spiritually inclined. And they wanted his father to have some detachment and realization for spiritual life. And they tried, but his father was attached to money. Then they got a sadhu and told that, please make him detach from material world a bit and attach to the spiritual life. So the sadhu took him to Kashi, Varanasi. If you know Varanasi, there is Dashashwamedh Ghat, Manikarnik Ghat, where all the dead bodies from that whole district are brought to be cremated. And he said, always there is some cremation going on. Actually, it's like that. Manikarnik Ghat, there is always some dead body burning. And the sadhu brought him there. And that businessman was sitting and sadhu was sitting. And few days passed. Maybe few weeks passed. And then businessman started crying. I will come to that point. I will finish this story. He started crying. The sadhu thought, you know, he is having some realization that this world is temporary. He said, what happened? He said, no, I wasted my whole life doing the wrong business. Because I was doing cloth business and it has seasons. But here is good opportunity. There is always customer for here. I should have done wood business. Because wood is required to burn the dead bodies. So he was crying that he chose his business wrong. Because cloth business is dependent on marriage season. Which is not all 365 days. And Chaturmasir is not there and some Paushmasir is not there. Something. Some only few good tithis it is there. But he said, this was a 24/7 business. Just open a shop next and without no advertisement, people will come and take wood from you. So that way we see, what I wanted to say, which is made another point over here, is we feel happiness conditioned by our vision. The absolute happiness will be understood only when we go beyond our material life. Actually, even to achieve anything materially, we have to be a bit detached. Even in the exams, even in job, business, people may say, even like some sports people, or people who are into wrestling, or cricket, or tennis, what it may be, they do sacrifice their material enjoyments for many months, maybe to achieve their material goal. Certainly, after the goal is achieved, they are fully into material enjoyments again. But what we see the principle here is to achieve anything, people do sacrifice. That is what we see. It may be for education, it may be for sports, some gold medal, whatever it may be. Even if you see scientists of the past, like there was one scientist, Archimedes or something like that. He found out that principle of buoyancy. He was bathing in the bathroom, in a tub. But he was 24/7 thinking of this, how to solve this problem. And his research happened in the bathroom while bathing in the water tub. And he just came out shouting, Eureka, Eureka, I have found, like that. See, Newton, it's a simple thing, an apple falling from a tree. And Newton thinks, oh, it is gravitation. But why he understood that way? Because he was trying to analyze for many, many years and months, his vision was focused. His vision was covered over by, or always thinking of, this forces of nature. Similarly, but at that time he was beyond, he was not into enjoyment. The scientist people were into that research 24/7. They would sometimes forget their family, sometimes even forget to eat, forget to sleep, and then they could make out some discoveries. So the whole point is, to get something higher, we have to give up lower things. And similarly, to get the highest achievement, the highest rasa, the supremely beautiful Krishna and his consciousness, his service, it's required that we get detached from material world. Certainly both happen simultaneously. We have heard many stories that attachment to Krishna and detachment to material world happens simultaneously, but it has to happen. Now, sometimes we remain under illusion that just because I am chanting, my attachment will increase and detachment will decrease. No, we have to work hard for that. As Srila Prabhupada says, chanting is very simple process, but one has to perform it very seriously. So let's move ahead with this purport. So, Krishna, in the purport it is said, the inconceivable Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, by displaying his own true form, freed the living entities from falsely seeking the form of beauty of other forms. We know the story of Dhanurdas. Sri Rangam Dhanurdas, who was attracted to that lady. So Dhanurdas, It's natural to be attracted to beautiful things. It's natural because we are attracted to Krishna. In this material world, what are beautiful things? A beautiful man or a woman or a house or a car. How long? As I said, how many years? Very temporary. This Dhanurdas was attracted to the beautiful eyes of that lady. Rakshakambal or some. What is her name? Hemamba, yeah. Rakshakambal was another lady. In Ramacharya's, Hemamba. He was attracted to that and he was saying, so beautiful, so beautiful. Ramacharya had a power to show that Dhanurdas, the real beautiful eyes of Ranganathji. And when he could see that, his attachment for whole material things were over. But still, he married that lady and stayed in a house with lot of opulence. But at the same time, we have heard the story that how he has shown his detachment in the future when the Ramacharya sent his disciples. So basically, the further this purport is saying, I wanted to go to Bhakti Siddhanta. Okay. See, another point which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur has made. He explained, now it may appear that the pleasures, okay. First point is, pleasures of this world are very relative. We may find something very beautiful, but that may not be for all. Like once His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was telling, for human being, for a human male, a female's form is beautiful, and vice versa. But that may not be absolute. Just like when a man sees a woman in a lusty way, his heart starts having some feelings and thoughts and all these things. Radhanath Maharaj was telling, that same thing might happen when a he cockroaches look at the sea cockroach. And he may think, oh, what a beautiful smile she is giving. For us, we can't notice either way. We don't notice when somebody, a cockroach is smiling or crying or whatever it may be. But, just like some of us are completely enamored by the smile and the style, the way somebody walks, the way somebody has hairstyle, the way somebody speaks. In a similar way, a rat is attracted to she-rat. And he may think, how beautifully she is walking. Some of us are feeling ashamed. But that is the real principle. Means, how to term this is good and this is bad? It's nothing. A tiger doesn't feel attracted by either male or female. He just thinks both are my breakfast. For him it's not that this is male or this is female or something. For a man or a deer, it may be anything. So basically, then the point still remains. Why human being has a particular type of enjoyment? It is said that human body is specifically made for God consciousness. Then other than animals. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur very nicely explained that this apparent resemblance between the Lord activities and those of the living entities is merciful concession by the Lord, so that the conditioned souls will be attracted to Him and become eligible to return to His kingdom for eternal life of bliss and knowledge. So Lord wanted living beings as such, and specifically those in human bodies, to get attracted to Krishna's planet, to the spiritual world. Therefore, what we like is not our choice. Please understand. As once made a very nice point by Devamrut Swami Maharaj in Youth Prerna lecture, maybe 2-3 years back. Please understand, what we like, anything, food, cloth, color, is not our choice. It's forced on us by material nature, so we like particular food, particular thing. So human beings, as a society, we are liking for some food, some clothing, some housing, some appointed sex. And it resembles that similar activities are happening in the spiritual world. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur has told here, Krishna has, please understand, when I say what I like is not my choice. In a human being, because our body and mind are made like that, we may like gulab jam, rasgulla, or whatever it may be. And we may not like some hog food or dog food. We may have apathy for that. The hog, what does hog eats, the stool and everything. But please understand, if a human being would have been designed in that way. Just like hogs are designed in a way to eat hog food, stool. We are not designed ourselves that humans should like rasgulla. It just happened by the nature. And if it has been designed in such a way, humans, the material nature would have designed human beings in such a way that they like to eat stool. We would have liked that. And we would have ate that with great fun and what it may be. It's not our choice. But Krishna has given the human beings the illusion of pleasure, which is similar to the pleasure in the spiritual world, which is not same, which is completely different, but there is some resemblance. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says that is Krishna's mercy. We like to eat some foods, rasgulla and rasmalai and like that. And when we hear Krishna eats that, we feel very nice. And then we get in stall, we feel very nice. So that's a sample. And we hear that, we feel nice. So Krishna has done this nice feeling so that we get attracted to going back to the spiritual world. Similarly, about clothing, about housing, we hear Krishna's world in Vrindavan or Dwarka, the palaces made of gold and this and that. This is what we like. In human society, we like that. And what we like is similar to what is there in the spiritual world. Krishna has made it like that so that we feel enthusiastic to go to the spiritual world. We feel enthusiastic to go to the... If, suppose, whatever we like here, we like some food, some clothing, some house, some type of house, and we hear nothing of that is available in the spiritual world. Spiritual world is completely different. Different type of housing, different type of senses, different type of everything. Then that enthusiasm to go to the spiritual world won't come so much. Therefore, Krishna is mercifully in the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur is telling, this apparent resemblance between Lord's activities and those of living entities is a merciful concession by the Lord so that the living entities get attracted to the spiritual world and spiritual life. And by that way, so basically what has Lord done? Hey, you like rasgulla here, wonderful. The best rasgulla is in the spiritual world. Come on. That is Krishna's tactic. He has made us like rasgulla because the bests are available over there. You like aeroplanes here. But the best aeroplanes, which are made of gold and ivory and jewels, doesn't need an airstrip and no pollution. It can go at the speed of the mind or higher speed than that are available. Come on. So what people like here, the best is in the spiritual world. And therefore Krishna decided that let humans like those things. But they are in this way. So basically the whole purport, this purport is mercy of Krishna. Krishna is trying to take us back to Godhead. For that, what he has given? He has given Krishna Katha. The stories we like. We like great heroic stories. As I have mentioned many times in another places, his Grace Govind Prabhu has mentioned, in Kali Yuga people like, what do you call it, novels. And the novels always have some complex stories. Some man and he has a woman and then the brother and sister and family and this and that, some thief. But the best novel in this world up till now is Mahabharata. There are 200 characters. Which movie people like, some hero is there, heroine there, villain is there, somebody does something and some condition comes in and somebody speaks that way, so he cannot do this way and, but at the most 8, 10, 12 characters total. Some extras are there, but the main. But Mahabharata has main 200 characters and story is so complex. Somebody gave curse and Draupadi had 5 husbands and Kunti just said that divide into 5. And then the Kauravas are there, but still the Gandhari was so impatient and she kicked her womb. So many things interwoven. And therefore, when Mahabharata serial, it is famous even in Muslim countries. They don't accept God, but the story is famous. And that's why Krishna have made it that way. Krishna told that I have given these stories of mine, activities for people to get attracted. This Hari, he said, simply by hearing and chanting those glories. I don't know, somewhere in Malaysia or Singapore, somewhere. If you go on the airport, there's big diorama of Samudra Manthan. Right? And all the people coming in the airport and going out have to see devatas and demons and then Vasuki and then Bandar Mountain and all this. People like it. This is the most fascinating thing. All the stories of Bhagavatam are actually the most fascinating stories out of the world. Bharata Maharaj reaches perfection and just before death he gets attracted to deer and becomes a deer. And then Jada Bharat and meets a king, gets insulted, instructs the king. It's like a wonderful story. And all the stories, if you see, Maharaj Parikshit, he attacked in the womb. This idea, I think the movie people have not taken up till now. To get attacked in the womb. They should pick up some movie people, anyone over here. Pick up idea. That hero gets attacked in the womb of the mother. I have seen hero get kidnapped at the age of 5 or 2. But Maharaj Parikshit gets attacked in the womb of the mother. And he remembers Krishna protected him. He comes out seeing Krishna, Krishna, therefore his name Parikshit. And second time he gets cursed when he's young. So if you see this, the best stories are there in Bhagavatam. Why? Krishna has made this arrangement so that we get attracted. But for that, as it is said in the further, we have to bit, not get attracted to material pleasures. Both will go together. And therefore, in the next part of the purport, we will take in short, the two shlokas of Gita are mentioned, where it is said that some part of Vedas, they tell us of material enjoyment. And in the purport, we said, such Vedic literatures, let me just get the exact word, 1 minute. It's more dangerous, I'm trying to find out the word. Okay, maybe I'm not able to look at it. But anyway, it is said, such Vedic literatures, which describe of getting pleasures in the material world, are actually more dangerous. And therefore, one who seriously desires to advance in Krishna consciousness should only hear the Vedic, that part of Vedic literatures which deal with pure devotional service. And they should hear from highly advanced Krishna conscious people. So basically, even in Vedic literatures, there are a lot of things that can be confusing. That can be confusing. Because what happens, that just goes on increasing our material attachment. And before I conclude, I'd like to make another point. Why, okay, what is the problem if you have material attachments? Why it is not that we have material attachments and we can also see Krishna? Because what we see with eyes is not the reality. Our consciousness has to be pure. Actually, in the modern age, people are too much on eyes. What I see is correct. But as I said, that, I just spoke the story of that businessman at Kashi. His guru brought him and he was seeing the dead bodies burning. What he saw, while the dead bodies are burning, he saw that it was a good opportunity for wood business. And those of you who have read that book, Trushart Patik, or Journey Home, by His Holiness Radhat Maharaj, he was also meditating at the same place, Manikarnik Ghat. Seeing the dead bodies burning. And what he realized? The temporariness of this material world. So both are seeing the same thing, but what they see is actually completely dependent not on what they see. Because both saw the dead body burning. Both. But what they understood was completely way apart. One understood that I have to increase business and rather than this business I should do this business. And was what His Holiness Narayan Maharaj understood, that this material world is temporary. So basically what you see is not what you see. Actually, this was a very nice point in one BTG. I made it here. Even modern scientists have made this point. What is truth cannot be seen with the eyes. The scientists are saying like that. And truth is what is beyond what we see with the eyes. Okay, that way. Eyes cannot see the truth. See the truth. And truth is something which is beyond what the eyes can see. Modern science people are saying this now. That with these eyes you cannot see the truth. It's just not possible. And what is truth? Which is beyond the eyes to, beyond these eyes to see. Now similarly we understand in this material world, people, as I said, they just see with a particular conditioned thing. They just can't go beyond it. And, Just few points from the purport before we end. And here, in the next paragraph, the purport says, after doing this hearing, chanting, serving, what we have to come to conclusion to? When the tiny living entity is finally able to see the difference between temporary affairs of this material world and transcendental activities of the Lord Trikram, he devotes himself to the Lord and removes from his heart the dark covering of matter. So basically, ultimately, we have to come to the understanding that this material activities are insignificant or basically irrelevant. Because I said, season, how many seasons? 20 years, 30 years? No, we are thinking very proud, I am this, I am big businessman, I am some corporator, or I am a minister, or I am multimillionaire. It's like so important for us. After 100 years, no one will know your name also. After 100 years, somebody say, you know, this Mr. So-and-so was a millionaire. What? No. If we say, you know, in 1890, this person was a millionaire. It's useless. It's irrelevant. So, we have to come that this difference between temporary material activities. What activities we are doing with this body are temporary. We have to come to this understanding. Are temporary in nature and transcendental, divya activities of Krishna consciousness. Then he will devote. So that understanding has to come. And therefore, for that understanding to come, Lord Krishna has given us many wonderful pastimes. Krishna came to this material world, and while killing the demons, protecting the dharma, he did so many wonderful pastimes. We keep on hearing by so many devotees, they speak over here. It's so many that we just can't, 24 hours we can think of them. One pastime I would like to mention today, which I heard from His Holiness Navayogendra Maharaj. How Krishna is caring and protecting His devotees. So he was telling this pastime of Mahabharata war, that once Duryodhana went to Bhishma. And he said, oh, you are partial. You have soft heart for Pandavas, therefore you are not killing them. So Bhishma said, okay, tomorrow I promise I will kill Arjun. There one or twice it happened, but this is one time. And Krishna, he knows everything. So Krishna told Draupadi, come on. Come with me very quick. It's urgent. She says, where? No, you just don't ask. Come with me. And he took Draupadi and Krishna, both of them went to the Kaurava's camp, they went to the Bhishma's tent. And then Krishna stood outside, told Draupadi, remove your sandals. You have to enter, because enter the tent of Bhishma. And cover your head very nicely, properly. Don't immediately be recognizable. And go in and touch the feet, fall at the feet of Bhishma. So Bhishma is sitting, relaxed. Draupadi enters with feet covered, like with face and body covered. And goes and falls at the feet, touches the feet of Bhishma. And Bhishma immediately says, Sobhagyati Vabhav. Means, may your husband have long life. And then Draupadi removes, hey, I am Draupadi. But he said, you just gave a word to Duryodhan that you will kill Duryodhan, Arjun tomorrow. And now you are giving me Sobhagyati Vabhav. How is it going to happen? So Bhishma understood, but who got you here? Who is this person? And Bhishma takes Draupadi outside the tent, where Krishna is also standing, covering his head. But Bhishma understood this, only Krishna can do. And then Bhishma goes and catches the feet of Krishna. And Krishna has taken the sandals of Draupadi and tied in his dhoti to hide everything. But because Bhishma is catching the feet of Krishna and like playing formidably, the dhoti knot, means that knot of the sandals opens and the sandals of Draupadi fall down on Bhishma's front. So you understand, this is Krishna's idea. Krishna has come and done all the planning. So Krishna has done innumerable such activities. This is one of them. Every day he did millions of such activities. And if you read Acharya's commentary and this and that and this and that, unlimited are there. And in Kali Yuga there is one blessing. We forget very quickly, so we can read again and again. Same pastime, we can read again. It's a blessing in disguise. It would have been better that if you remember everything. But see, everything has something good. There is no bad in Krishna's thing. So if we forget it's good, we can read the same pastimes again. And again and again. And that is a blessing. But as once Baldev Prabhu was saying, that pastimes of gopis is important, but the mood of gopis is more important. So he told another pastime. And I will end with that, because by hearing such pastimes, only we can get attracted to Krishna. That is the purpose. So gopis were once seen from a distance in the forest, Vrindavan and surrounding forest. Krishna is giving his mercy to all the deers. And Krishna is touching them, playing with them. And gopis are behind the trees, seeing that Krishna is so nicely sharing himself, giving himself to the deers. Although they are gopis, the topmost devotees, what is their mood? They are thinking, if deers can get Krishna's mercy, then we also have some hope. Then we can also maybe get the mercy of Krishna. So even though they are gopis, they are thinking that way. So that is the mood. And in the last paragraph, before of today's section of purport, here it is said that I already began the last paragraph. When the tiny living entity is finally able to differentiate, we have to learn this material activity then spiritual activities. We have to be able to differentiate between them. Then only he will no longer desire material sense gratification, which is enjoyed under two heads of sin and piety. So we have heard people enjoy material world either sinfully or piously. But in one way it is both the same. If we are attached to enjoying material world sinfully or piously, we cannot develop God consciousness, Krishna consciousness. We will remain attached. So Prabhupada says, if one can understand that his real happiness is in giving pleasure to Krishna, then Lord Krishna takes a fortunate living being, such a fortunate living being, to his own Golok Vrindavan. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says that before taking back the soul to the spiritual world, Lord Krishna gives him a chance in material world. Wherever Krishna is doing pastime, we are taken over there. And then, when his attachment to Krishna increases, he is taken back to the spiritual world. So this is a whole, this shloka and the purport is actually full of Krishna's compassion. Krishna is worrying and making arrangements before going back himself. How all of us in Kali Yuga can go back to the spiritual world? And what he has given us? How he has made the arrangement? By giving us Krishna Katha. By hearing and chanting this glorious activities of Krishna. He thought that people will be attached to Krishna and they will be go back. So therefore, this is the most recommended activity of Kali Yuga. To hear Krishna Katha, read Krishna Katha, and try to be Krishna conscious and go back to spiritual. It's an easy process. And Krishna Kathas are really very joyful, very pleasurable. They have humor, they have virya-ras. Everything is there, whatever you want. And also, we go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So, any comment, Radha Gopinath Prabhuji? Or any other devotees? Or any questions if somebody has before we end? I think we end. Hare Krishna. Okay, one question. I see in one hand. So we have to send mic over. Mic is coming, 1 minute.
Namaste Guruji. Every day what we should do to get detached? बिकॉज आपने इतना बोला ना, मैं समझ नहीं पाई रोज क्या करने का मुझे, जिससे कि मैं डिटैच्ड हो जाऊं मटेरियल लाइफ से और भगवान की तरफ हो जाऊं। मैं इतना करती हूं रोज, इतना तो करती हूं, जो मैं खाती हूं मैं भगवान को देती हूं प्रसाद, वो ही मैं खाती हूं, इतना तो मैं करती हूं रोज। आप बताइए।
वंडरफुल। सो यू आर डूइंग वन वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट थिंग इज ऑफरिंग द फूड टू कृष्ण। First of all, you should understand that this is a bit gradual process. It's just like when we are doing farming, the seed is sown, the results will come after a few days or months or years. So you are doing anushilanam, Krishna anushilanam. You are doing farming, some parts. You are offering the food to Krishna. Basically, what this shloka says, daily you should hear about Krishna. Daily you should chant about Krishna. Part of it is daily you should offer food to Krishna. That is the most important thing. And after that, if we can possibly decrease our material enjoyments, that's good. But if we cannot, the material nature will take care of it. It will force us to decrease our enjoyments. But what you can do is try to increase your chanting, increase your... That material nature won't do. That you have to do. Your pleasures, even if you want to enjoy after 50, you can't. Material nature will take care. Even if you want to do all fashion, after 60 you can't, because you cannot stand only what fashion you will do. So material nature will take care of decreasing our enjoyments. But what we should also try to do, if possible, we should try to do. We have to put that effort. But more effort is we should try, as I said, what you can do, try to listen Bhagavatam class daily, either in temple or in your home online, or pre-recorded one, chant some amount of round daily, and whatever way, see, this detachment is a very difficult answer because everyone is more attached to whatever, slowly you can give up, you start giving up, slowly. Give some charity daily, to some Vaishnavas, to some spiritual program, Gita dance, so many things are there. So slowly, slowly engage more and more into Krishna consciousness. Detachment will follow if we are more into Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, anything more? So I think we'll end. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Yes. Hare Krishna, there are a few announcements. BASE presents 3-day seminar on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 1 to 7. Title Daksha Prasanga, Essential Lessons from the